Hang on one sec, I'll get it.
No, that's all right.
Don't go wet her.
Okay.
You got it? Her?
Sure.
Okay.
I'm going to start doing my
Okay, you're on.
We're talking about. Hi, good afternoon, or now good evening, everybody, since it's dark out. Welcome to the November 7th, 2019 meeting of the Economic Development, Tourism, Housing, Planning, and Transit Committee. And we'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Nettie, would you please call the roll?
Sure. Legislator DeLon?
Here.
Legislator Litz?
Here.
Legislator Archer?
Here.
Legislator Rodriguez?
Present.
Legislator Waltman?
Here.
Okay.
Thank you very much. I presume everybody had a chance to review the minutes from last month's meeting. If there aren't any questions, I'd like to make a motion that we approve the minutes from the October meeting.
So moved.
Second.
And could take a vote. All in favor of approving the minutes?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right, thank you. Before we get going, and what?
Chair Bartels is here too.
Oh.
I'm sorry,
she wasn't. I want to recognize the presence of Chairperson Bartels. She's joining us tonight. And also, before we proceed, I also want to introduce at the table, joining us is a new county legislator-elect from the 7th Legislative District, is Peter Criswell. I asked him if he would be here for us tonight, and I'm very happy that you're here, Peter. Thank you very much. All right, so what we're going to do tonight, we're going to wait on resolutions because we have people here from the various departments to talk about their department 2020 budget updates. We're going to go right down the line, except Alan. I'm going to flip Alan at the bottom of the agenda list. I'm going to flip Alan and Dennis because, Alan, what we're going to do, we're going to move right into you the resolutions that affect your department right after you speak. So I figured that would be a more orderly way to proceed. Okay. So I'd like to call on Tourism Director Rick Remsnyder, please. If you can give us a presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Happy to do so. Okay, here. Have you heard no objection?
No, of course, you're fine.
Please
sure.
Sit.
In fact, we like that better.
I have some handouts for the committee. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Oh, sorry.
No problem.
Rick, are you giving us the PowerPoint tonight?
No.
Okay.
No PowerPoint. No.
All right.
No, I am.
Rick, after 16 or 15 years, you got to learn to be
like you do, it's just. Anyway, how's everybody doing tonight? Good?
Yes, sir.
Sure.
For the record.
Can I give it to you afterwards?
Absolutely. You can even email it to me if you want.
Oh, sure.
The floor is yours, Mr. Remsnyder.
What's that?
The floor is yours.
Thank you, sir. Might as well get right into it. As I understand it, you're looking at the budget. So our budget in 2020 is exactly as the same as it was last year. We have four positions, myself, Deputy Tourism Director Fran DiPetrillo. We have two new people in the past 6 weeks. Office Assistant Krista Bogdan, and we just hired a new Tourism Information Assistant, Nadine Slowick. Our other previous people moved on to other positions. Benefited positions.
Come on.
It's actually slightly less than last year, I believe.
Lower salaries?
Yes, coming right in. So the biggest, I didn't go through every line, but certainly you have it there. But I just went to the big ticket items. The professional services, you see on line 4300, it's a combination of professional services fees and also professional services advertising. So the fees is our agency fee, which is Cubic Creative. They're in their third year. Our travel guide design.
That's local advertising? No.
Oh, yeah. No, that's
professional. The agency.
That's
okay.
The agency.
Got it.
They'll be in, or we'll be reviewing their contract next month. So that's a large part of that. It's about, should be $350,000 out of the $525,000. Travel guide design and production and distribution is generally in the area of $80,000 to $100,000 every year. Then the professional services advertising is advertising, obviously, we do throughout the year. Miscellaneous contractual expenses includes printing, memberships, periodicals, conference expenses, $12,500, supplies, $7,500, and travel, $5,000. There isn't really a lot of change in this budget. I'll be happy to talk about any line that you like. I gave you the whole packet of basically a real quick review of what we've done this year. Tourism spending, last year, the state always comes with an Oxford Economics Report, is always a year behind, but for 2018 it was a record $651.5 million. It was an increase of 11% over the previous year. And according to the New York State Empire Development, we attracted 5.3 million visitors, which again is an increase over the previous year. Tourism spending in Ulster County has increased over 40% since 2009. And the occupancy tax for 2018 was a record $1.8 million, which was an increase of 25% over the previous year. The first three quarters of 2019 were also on a record pace, up 14.7% over 2018. The rest of my, as you can review if you like, is some of our numbers on our paid media and our website numbers. I'll be happy to go over those if you like, but do you have any questions on the budget?
So that last sentence on that part of the presentation where you say the first three quarters of 2019 were up a record 14.7, you're referring to the occupancy tax?
Okay. Yes.
Do you know what percentage of that's attributable to the
Airbnbs?
Yeah.
It's pretty much about half of the increase is Airbnbs. I'd have to ask Bert exactly what the numbers are, but based on last year, certainly if we had a 25% increase, I believe it was, at least 11 or 12% of it was because of the registration of the Airbnbs, which now the percentages, I think the last I heard was 1,400 or 1,600 Airbnbs. We collected, registered, and started collecting the occupancy tax from over 1,000 of those. So that certainly accounts for some of the increase.
Thank you.
Sure.
Any other questions for Tourism Director Remsteiner? Okay, Rick, well, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
See you next month.
You know, can I just, before you run, because it is on, it is one of the resolutions
sure.
here. The I Love New York, is that, just help me refresh my memory. We're booking revenue for last year's expenditure in this, right? Are you always lagging a year?
On the resolution for matching funds?
Yeah.
No, that's for the coming
year. So the 76 that we're showing here in the budget for state aid?
Yes.
Is reflective of that resolution?
It should be, yes.
Because it is a different amount, number one, and there's a range from 30 to 135, so I'm just trying to, I know it's a matching fund, we have to spend it to get reimbursed too, right?
Correct.
Okay.
The number that we have in the budget, of course, the budget was put together in August, September. It was just an estimate. We actually got a little bit more from the matching funds, so you'll see that in next month's resolution. It's like a couple $1,000 difference.
Okay, so we already got notice of how much they're going to match us?
Yes.
Okay, so it's less than the 135 that's in the resolution?
The
There's a range in the resolution, so I'm just trying to, you know, foot everything back to the budget, so that's why.
That 135 is, that's reflective of what the county puts in and what the match is for the state. That's what that number is.
Okay.
We're applying and we get that revenue.
And you already submit a plan of what you're going to spend.
Correct.
Right, which is the $70,000 according to the resolution.
Right.
On that particular campaign.
Correct.
And so if I totaled them together, it wouldn't be 135.
The state is matching what we put in our budget.
Okay.
So it's double.
Okay.
So it'd be 140.
Yeah.
I'll have the exact figure next week.
Sorry, I was just looking at numbers, and so you're kind of rounding up and down. So.
Yeah, it's like 152, actually.
Okay, so that's why you have the range in there, because
right,
it's
exactly.
Reflective of both.
We're never going to go to the top of that range.
All right.
That would only happen if half the counties in the state of New York decided not to participate in the matching fund program, but everybody participates, thankfully.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
All right.
No problem.
While there are two resolutions tonight that affect the tourism department, I was thinking this might be a good time if we just introduce these for votes. I'll take them. So we'll go to Resolution 461, designating the Ulster County Department of Tourism as the official tourism promotion agency of Ulster County.
Move it.
Department of Tourism.
Second.
Move. Second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries unanimously. So we'll move on to resolution number 462, pledging matching funds for the I Love New York Tourism Promotion Department of Tourism.
Move it.
Second.
Any discussion?
We're going to clean that up, right?
Yes, thank you. I appreciate you.
I'll call for a vote. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Unanimous.
Thanks.
Since we have the chairman here, I don't know if she's aware that we went to last year, actually, even before anybody else went from plastic to these types of bags. This and I'll leave these. This is what we give out when we go to for different shows and for our visitor center, and they've been very popular.
Nice.
So I'm going to leave you some of these.
They're paper, Rick?
They're compliant with all the with the regulations as far as
at
least they better be. I'm gonna be in big trouble. And this is one that we give out to what I like to refer to as VIPs when we have travel writers come in. I was going to bring a bunch for the committee, but I might have gotten in trouble for giving away so much. So I didn't bring one for everybody.
We're reducing your budget.
Right, exactly. But I'll leave one here.
Okay.
If anybody wants any,
all right.
I got two. Anybody wants them, please let me know.
I will,
but
Rick.
These are very popular.
Thank you.
So I'm going to leave these.
I'm just going to caution everybody. We have a pretty packed agenda tonight, and we have Energy Environment Committee coming up on the heels of this meeting. So, you know, we're going to have to try to keep things moving along as best as we can, but certainly want to have full discussion and want to hear everybody, but we're going to have to keep moving along. So in that vein, Office of Economic Development Director Lisa Berger.
Yeah, can I take them out of order and do employment and training first?
Sure.
Will that work?
Whatever suits you.
Okay.
It's your time, Lisa.
Thank you. Let me just start with Ulster County's Office of Employment and Training's budget. As you know, this department is 100% federally reimbursable. All the money that comes in from New York State. It's federal money passed to the Department of Labor and sent down to us to use by statute to help businesses get the kind of workforce that they need and to help workers secure jobs and training to help them move through the system. And so as you can see, there's really our obligation under federal law is to spend 80% of the money that is allocated to us in any program year. Our program year does not coincide with this funding year. It's a federal year, and that 20% is used to carry us over until the money comes back in. So if you want detail on who it is that we serve young adults between the ages of 14 to 24. We serve dislocated workers. Those are people who've been separated from their job and do not have any prospect of returning to that same same career. And we serve adults, which are just the general public who may need training, skills training, or a new job. Are there any questions on the employment and training budget?
Legislator Rodriguez, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just for my own edification, your budget shows that there will be a director of employment and training at $75,000. At what point, I guess, in the year is the administration looking to have somebody in there?
By January 1st.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Mark.
Mysterious voice in the back, I guess. Either that or you've learned ventriloquize, whatever that word is. There you go. So by January 1, you're looking to have somebody in there. Okay.
Any other questions, on Lisa?
Thank you. Great. Now let me talk about the Ulster County's Department of Economic Development. I am certain that you guys have probably looked through this, and what you will see is that we are funding four positions, and then as you look up in the line is the money that we would be using to deliver programming. And let me just say that at last week's USITA meeting, they passed a budget that would give allocate $32,000 for being spent on tools that would help us evaluate our economic development efforts and establish KPIs. We're looking at objective tools, like something like we're looking at EMSI, and maybe there's some other I know there are other evaluative tools that are based out there. And in the USITA budget, $150,000 was set aside for marketing and work in equitable economic development outreach efforts, which include child care, housing, workforce, transportation, and our expansion and retention efforts. And I am going to say that we do not envision that as a marketing contract. Are there questions? Any other questions? Are there questions about the budget that I haven't? Yes.
Legislator Rodriguez, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, per the budget, the draft budget, I guess I should say, because I don't think we actually have been provided a final budget, have we? Have we provided a final budget from USITA?
Mark.
Final USITA budget.
We adopted it, but it hasn't been distributed.
Last week.
Monday. So we actually don't have
Monday.
Last week.
Last Thursday.
I'm sorry.
So the only thing we have right now is the draft. Were there any changes to the draft?
No.
Okay. So per the draft, you're adding in $25,000 from the contract with Ulster County. So that's an extra $25,000 from 2019 to 2020. It says here under Ellenville Million, which was interesting, that's going from $500,000 to $332,000. So that part is also somewhat sort of confusing insofar as, are there dollars being put, is there going to be a budget recommendation back to the Ellenville Million?
It was accomplished at our last meeting. The USITA board passed a resolution that amended the Ellenville Million contract. It included the health care bucket, if you will. In that same resolution was that any money that was residual outstanding from the Ellenville Million that hadn't been spent would go into the healthcare bucket. And then a resolution was passed by the board to take that money and allocate it to the Ellenville Hospital.
Okay, well, before we go too far down that road, in the legislature changed that resolution to basically go and separate the two issues. Are you telling me that at last week's meeting somehow they put them back together again?
I'm not sure what you're saying.
You were the one who informed me that there was an amendment that was made last month to the resolution that created the healthcare bucket. Because
right.
the original resolution did both things in one sort of fell swoop.
That's what got approved. That's what got approved.
So,
I'm sorry. I thought you told me that that was amended by the legislature.
No.
It
was amended. It still was all inclusive. It didn't separate things out.
The last resolve was what?
Do we have the resolution?
The first draft of the resolution implied that the money was going to go to the Ellenville Hospital.
We
dropped that, and then it was left to the USITA board because the legislative resolution created the healthcare bucket. I missed Monday's meeting, but I believe did anybody
I know what happened. Yeah.
Propose? So
yeah.
I mean, you can
so what happened is the contract was accepted, as and the money was the board moved to pass
award the funding
to the.
Yeah. Excuse me, Hector, you have a problem?
She just said something to me, and I just said to refer to you. You're on the USITA.
Right.
Yeah.
And so it got approved.
It was approved.
It was after discussion because there were several other Ellenville Million questions that came up about other projects. Now, having not been part of the board at the time, we had an update. And it was my understanding that there were no other projects that met the bar that was set by the Jumpstart program, and therefore the money was allocated to the new sector that the legislature had approved, and we approved the money going to the hospital.
So my budgetary question, though, still remains that we're showing 332,000 in 2020.
Can I talk about that for one sec? Just because, and that is because there is money out there in projects that are in contracts that aren't completed. They're in various stages of a completion.
It's encumbered.
Right, it's encumbered. It just hasn't been spent.
And 113 is what went to the hospital.
113,700.
Yes. Okay. Which is part of that.
That's what was unspent.
Right.
Right.
So the marketing campaign, that is now going to be, can you just tell us a little bit more,
sure.
more specifics?
I absolutely can. So what we discussed at USITA is we would be using that money not in a traditional marketing sense, but we would be looking at like marketing training opportunities, let's say, for workforce. We may be looking at sector meetings that will help with expansion and retention efforts. We're going to be using that money in the broadest sense of marketing. We are not necessarily talking about, in fact, we know we will not be contracting with an ad agency to deliver $100,000 in an ad campaign. That's not what we are looking to do. We are looking to make sure that what we are doing actually, that we continue to do outreach to our local businesses, and that we launch equitable economic development initiatives that may include addressing long-term barriers to growth to increase equity, childcare, housing, workforce, and transportation. Exactly what those are gonna look like right now, we don't know. We're in the process. All of this is in the process, is against a backdrop of the department working with the 2040 committee and bringing forward to USITA the recommendations, the visions, the goals that have been set through the 2040 visioning process. The hope is that all of this dovetails, that we're all dovetailing these efforts together. That's the goal. That's what we've talked about.
Chairwoman Bartels, please, and then Legislator Archer, then Legislator Rodriguez.
Can I just, okay, so I just want to get clarification on what Legislator Rodriguez is asking. So the 250,000 or what, we're talking about, you're talking about the USITA budget, but
right.
where that's represented
is in professional services at 275. So 100 and, so the proposal is.
So just before you answer, do you have a breakdown, for example, that 275 line, do you have a breakdown of what that 275 line is?
Yeah, what that contains.
Professional service, right.
Yes.
Because it's just a number. Is there a breakdown?
Yeah, it's the one. That was what I was.
The other 125 broken down.
That was what I was going to say, yeah. But go ahead, Mark, you say it.
No, because you have it. What is it broken out for, the 125?
The 125 for the department is going to go towards the final 2040 document, similar to Ulster Tomorrow. It is absolutely foreseeable that what's going to come out of this process is something that we would need to document in some way, shape, or form, whether it's on the website or in print or a combination of both. It might be used for a consultant. It might be used for some data to support this effort. It could be used that we're going to need money to attract the sectors that are identified and to work with the sectors that come out of this report.
I appreciate the narrative and I want to hear the narrative, but I need first to get my footing. You're talking in the 4300 line.
Yeah.
You're talking about 125.
125 for the department.
Going to
the department.
It's going
what do you mean to the department?
Yeah, like that would be the department spend. The 150 of that 175 goes to USITA. 30
of the 275.
Of the 275.
So 125 isn't going to, if it's in the professional services line, doesn't it imply it's going to get professional services?
Yes. Not, yep. And we may be buying data.
USITA is administrating.
Administrating.
So 150,000 of the 275
right.
is the USITA contract.
Right.
Right.
125,000 will be used for consulting and other services.
Data.
That work towards Ulster
2040.
Some of it might be the report.
Right.
Some of it will be working directly with those sectors.
Right.
In attracting.
Right.
Well, Legislator Archer, then Legislator Rodriguez. Please.
So the 150 is going to be transferred to USITA.
Right.
Through a contract,
mm-hmm.
and 125 stays in the department.
Right.
What is not clear to me, and I'd like to have a better understanding. Why do we need to transfer, since we've established a department now, why do we need to transfer 150 to USITA?
Well, you know, this is broad, isn't USITA, the idea of it is broad buy-in. We have more than just county employees there. We have legislative representation, we have business representation, and the goal of that entity really is for there to be support community-wide for economic development efforts and for there to be some input into the process per se, and for there to be the benefit of working with those affiliated and interested parties. And that's really the benefit, right, of working through USITA, because you're right, the money could just stay in the department if that was to your suiting. Do you see what I'm saying? It's up to you guys. You have the...
No, I understand. Yeah. I'm just trying to understand. This is just what has happened in the past.
Right.
We've now set up a department. What shifts and changes as
right.
a result of
right.
that? Which we've not really had an opportunity to have that conversation.
Right.
We're still operating under an old way
right.
of doing it.
Right.
So
right.
I put it out there
right.
in with all respect
right.
to just say, so why would we continue to do that if we're not talking about it being a marketing budget? We're not even sure what is going to what we're going to do with the 150. There's ideas out there, but it's not been solidified. So my only question is, why put that money out there right away until there's more dialogue and clarity with what 2040 is doing?
Yeah.
What you're and so I'm just
it's
asking
it's
the
good.
Question.
It's all- Yeah, go ahead, Mark.
So, I mean, a budget is, in some ways, a forecast, right?
Right.
And so there's things that come up where an LDC may still be helpful. For instance, the acquisition of
right.
Tech City that just recently occurred.
Uh-huh.
We may have some work to do on that, and whether, you know, this body decides to move that or create a new LDC or whatever, having money in the economic development budget that can work with an LDC on development of those properties is helpful. So that could be one reason, you know, and that's one of the things that we thought about when deciding to still have money in the UCEDA budget.
And in that case, we would want maximum buy-in, right? And maximum support and maximum transparency.
Let's let Rodriguez, please.
So it appears that the 150 is a $25,000 increase from last year. That's probably number one. So what is that extra $25,000?
I had it pegged at 32. I could be wrong.
Contract with Ulster County is 125 in 2019, and then in 2020 it's 150. I'm looking at your documents.
I'm sure you are. I'm not questioning you.
I didn't just pull this out of my ear.
I'm not questioning you.
There's a patterns for
yeah. Hold
I mean, on. The professional service.
Go ahead. Where are you?
Dennis Doyle, please.
The professional services line for 2019 for the Office of Business Services was $175,000.
Oh, yeah. I forgot.
It was my understanding that of that $175,000, $150,000 was earmarked for UCEDA at the time. The contract between UCEDA and Ulster County has not been executed. So that money was never transferred. It remains in professional services.
Right. So thank you for...
So what are you trying to get at, Dennis? I'm asking the very specific question of why is there an increase from 125 to 150?
I don't think there was.
Is it right?
No,
that's what we're saying.
Your proposed budget has that. Municipal subsidies, contract with Ulster County.
I'm just saying that if I look at where the professional service fees were last year in the Office of Business Services.
This is not a matter. You're looking at the literal. I'm talking about there is a physical budget provided by the EDA, right? I'm pulling this from the EDA. We get emails from the EDA. The EDA has in the 2019 adopted budget $125,000. They have in the proposed 2020 budget $150,000. That's an increase of $25,000. What's the extra $25,000 being used for?
I can't speak for the EDA budget. I can speak for the county budget. The county budget for professional services to the EDA.
Dennis, this is not for you, Dennis.
I just need to talk to you. All right, so I have to back up for 1 second and say to you that was, and I had the number wrong, the $32,000 that we had earmarked for evaluation and KPIs and doing that kind of stuff. That was what that was. I had 32 in my head. That's what I had is 32. I'm sorry.
25.
So it's
but it
yeah,
was at 25.
It's 25 actually. Because in my head, I thought it was 32. I'm sorry.
Okay, because then it basically shows in the out years for 2021 to be 150, 2022. And while I realize these are not actual encumbrances, this is sort of a 5-year, generically a 5-year projection, which also helps to deal with the state, what's it called? The state, one of the offices that requires you or wants you to have a 5-year plan. All right, so that was just number one. So you're telling me that 25 is going towards piece that.
Right.
All right.
I'm sorry.
No. It's okay. So given we now question, and I think, or at least several of us have questioned now, the validity of having this much money allocated to an LDC that otherwise does not have any other revenue, actually outside of the revolving loan fund dollars. Mm-hmm. You know, my question is right now, we already have properties, because the Deputy County Executive brought up the idea of properties being transferred over to this LDC. Number one, we have other LDCs that could also perform that function that we don't have to pay for. But my question right now is that we already have existing properties that the EDA has. So, for example, I believe IS, right? What is the status of...
That was pulled, right?
It's still there. But understand there's a difference between the IS building, which was essentially like whatever professional services would be used, is essentially a... commercial realtor, that's in essence development or sales of that building. Now you're talking about a 335,000 square foot building that we don't plan on just putting up potentially for sale to the highest bidder or whatever else, because we've been in that position before where if there's no development happening there, there's an issue. So the money is potentially going to be used for development and as a, you know, a consulting firm to come in and work on the development.
Go ahead, Dennis.
So one of the suggestions I think that we've learned from the various discussions in front of the committee with respect to this money is that there's an uncomfortableness with respect to transferring $150,000 to the Development Corporation, sort of to say that what they're going to do with it later. So that the thought being was that we have some good experience with respect to the Ellenville Million in terms of putting the money in buckets and putting a response requirement back to the legislature. So the idea being in terms of if you're comfortable with the $150,000 being spent towards economic development out of the Business Services Division, the idea of transferring it to the LDC gives us a lot more flexibility in how to do that. But what we could do and would do is essentially write for the legislature to transfer that money would be a contract that is explicit in terms of what it's going to do and what the expectation
is. Yeah, what the deliverables are.
Chairwoman Bartels?
Yeah, I mean, for me, and I think it goes back to the creation of the Department of Economic Development, which is something the legislature have been talking about for a long time, you know, over the course of the previous administration. And that's, now we have a Department of Economic Development, which I'm thrilled about, and I want to put I have high hopes for it, and I want to put the weight behind it that it deserves, and that's why I question operating as if we're in the same relationship mm-hmm. we were before we had a Department of Economic Development. You know, if I look at organizational highlights from USITA, from the LDC, a lot of what they highlight that they're doing are things that I would want to see the department doing, that I just would hope for an internal transformation. Mm-hmm. You know, we've raised its stature, then rather than saying, we're gonna move 175,000 and they're gonna do all this stuff, and I get that there's a synergy in terms of the relationship, but that mm-hmm. that relationship has made certain legislators and the body, you know, varying degrees, uncomfortable at various times. But now here we have a new department, so why isn't the department taking the lead on the advertising and the mm-hmm. marketing? Because that's something that could happen right out of the department.
Right. Yep.
That's
right.
Not
it
something
is.
That
it
has
is.
To happen.
It's
why would you send it over to there for those seven people? I know you're part of it, but for those seven people to do, why wouldn't you be doing it out of the department? And that's my general takeaway. What I'd love to see is a plan and a vision for the department as a whole, and with that, you know, the budget lines, and I know it's early because it's brand new, so I know that we're in the earliest phases, but I personally feel very uncomfortable about just, to Dennis's point, it's like I need more than a contract with buckets. Mm-hmm. I want to know in each case of those buckets, it has to be something that can't be happening out of a department in the county, and if it can, I want to know why it's not happening in the department in the county, just speaking for me. Because again, I'd like for the department to take some.
So please. One of the things I would say is that when we talk about flexibility and buy-in, we also need to talk about moving at the speed of business. To be frank, the legislature, with respect to how we get contracts signed and moving through resolutions, et cetera, doesn't move at the speed of business. And so the thought being is we need to allocate certain types of money in certain locations to do certain kinds of things. That would allow the Development Corporation to do that.
But with all due respect, Dennis, in terms of, you know, these kinds of issues, and there are great examples, and I would like to sit down with you, Lisa,
and
somebody. There are great examples, not just the state over, but the country over, mm-hmm. of departments of economic development within counties that are doing amazing things mm-hmm. that may or may not cost millions and millions of dollars. It's just, it's about positioning. It's like, if the answer is that the speed, then why don't we outsource everything? You know what I mean? What's the next? Yes, yeah, it's private business, and other organizations are faster. I mean, we have now a Department of Economic Development that right now, all you've done is, not you, but all you've done is zeroed it out of planning mm-hmm. and moved the chunks over to here mm-hmm. and ran the same lines and said, we're doing the same thing except for $100,000+ that we're going to determine, which I'm comfortable with giving the department latitude on certain numbers because you need it. You're starting up
right.
as a new department. I'm not nitpicking over right. the $125,000 that you right. don't yet know what it's going to be for exactly.
Right.
It's the similarity in the moving that makes me less comfortable.
Okay, Legislator Rodriguez, and then Legislator Arts, and then I think we're really going to have to advance our meeting along.
Okay, well, because this gets back to, you know, Dennis, you know, I know you love to go and say the phrase move at the speed of business, but you had said something earlier that I want to touch on, because you talk about buy-in, and whether you like it or not, there's partnerships, and if there is discomfort by the partners, then you got a much bigger problem, Dennis. So before you even can start talking about, you know, moving at the speed of business, there needs to be, I believe, you know, that level of dialogue. When we did Ulster Tomorrow, there was a great deal of dialogue. Trust me, it took a long time. And so with regards to this Ulster 2040, you know, at least, and I may be just unaware, maybe they've had discussions with you, Mr. Chair, but I don't think that they've had, or maybe with you, Madam Chair of the Legislature, with regards to what Ulster 2040 looks like, what, you know, what we're talking about, what, you know, what's the scope, you know, what are the types of economic development that we're looking at going forward, you know. And so because there is that lack of communication and lack of transparency, it's problematic to then basically go and ask for $125,000 on something that we're not involved with.
All right, Hector, Lynn Arts, and then we're going to have to, Arts, and then we really have to advance the meeting.
I'm sorry, I opened a can of worms with it's asking okay. about the money. I think what it does say here, though, and I think there needs to be more conversation about how the department's going to function, how the 2040, I mean, we've seen a press release. I think we can have more conversation around how all the pieces fit together, what the role of USITA is within the context of where we're headed. Nobody is trying to slow it down, so I do take a little offense about moving the speed of business. I'd like to move the speed of business too, and we're still government and there's still accountabilities, and we talk about transparency, so I just want to ensure that we're all on the same team here, wanting to advance economic growth in this county. I think that we need to have more conversation collectively around each of us and how the role is going to work together, and I think that's what I really wanted the discussion to be around is, How does this work in a new structure?
Dennis, you're going to actually, Dennis, if you could just hold on to that thought until when we get to you, because we really have to. We do have a committee coming in at 7, I believe, or 6 o'clock,
six.
I believe.
So,
but we want to get as much as we can from our other presentation. So, Lisa, thank you very much.
All right, thank you. Thank
and,
you.
I'm sure there'll be ongoing so discussions with this.
Okay, sorry.
And Carol Hargrove from UCAT, please. Ulster County Area Transit, please. Thank you.
We're fine with your budget.
We're fine. I love Brandon.
whatever you want. Just
yeah. Right.
Fine.
Alrighty. As I think a lot of people know, UCAT is broken down into three divisions now. With the City of Kingston, we're at four divisions: 5901, which represents UCAT; 5903, which represent the Ulster-Poughkeepsie Link; 5904, which is the New Paltz Loop; and 5905, thank you, is the City of Kingston, so which has been very successful since we've taken that over. The one thing I would like to point out in the budget under 5903, under travel, you see a big number of $20,000. That's not me traveling the country. That's the easy pass. That's the bridge tolls going back and forth daily, approximately 27 times a day between the Kingston-Poughkeepsie Link and the New Paltz Loop. So that's sometimes people look at that number and they think travel, 20,000. That's the bridge expense.
Are we actually still getting money though from MTA with regards to so that revenue would basically pop up somewhere else on their sheet?
We're under contract with the state. That comes up. Yep. Matter of fact, we raised because it cost us a little bit more last year, so we got a little bit more money from the state of New York. So that basically is a wash.
Yep.
Also, we bill back to New Paltz, and that pretty much washes out. What we do is we take the STOA, which is state operating. We get paid per passenger and per mile, and we give that back to the expense of the town and to the expense of the link. So it deducts the operating expenses and stuff and the in-kind fuel. So that pretty much washes out, which leaves our biggest expense with the 5901, which is the UCAT loop. The total operating budget, they have us slotted our expenses at $6,871,000. It's a lot of money. Our revenue is at $5,069,000. I will say our numbers were pretty much close to that last year, other than we didn't have the city of Kingston. I will tell you right now, where we look right now with everything that's coming in, with our grants and all that good stuff, we operated UCAT 2019. I'm at $369,000 for the year. So $369,000 to run a bus system for 2019
That's
is a wonderful
number.
Yeah. So I'm hoping, I mean, it would be great to break even on that. So let's see what happens.
That's your
we
goal. I love that.
Let's see if we can get some revenue stream more coming in. Our capital budget, as you know, we buy a lot of buses. But I'm proud to say again, we'll be purchasing 8 buses in 2020.
Cutaways.
We have some cutaways. We have 2 26 footers. We have 3 35 footers, which are diesel hybrid. And then we have 2 35 and 1 40 foot electric buses. They're all funded. The local share is zero. All right. So that total cost for all those buses. Our capital projects is $3,816,000. So our local share again is zero. All right, so that's a wonderful thing too. So I love that. So I told you I love talking about it. All right, I think, like I said last year, our biggest expenses really for the operating are our payroll, our maintenance with our parts, and then of course fuel, which with the funding sources, we can do an 80-10-10, 80% federal, 10 state, 10 local, and that's where the local share comes in. But as long as we keep pulling in the revenue streams, we can bring our local share down and our operating costs way down. So.
Let's let
the numbers are fabulous. Thank you for all you do. But how is the ridership? Are the numbers?
Oh, I'm glad you brought that up. The last year's total ridership came in at approximately 380,000 trips, passenger trips. Right now we're hitting 400,000. Mm-hmm. So does it say, you know, the city of Kingston's helped that number quite a bit? Yes, we're at, for the third quarter, July, August, September, we're at 20,000 rides for the city of Kingston right now, a little over 20,000 rides. So that brings us up over 400,000. So I'm hoping to be and about 415,000 rides, which we get, you know, state operating, we get 69 cents per passenger, 68 cents per passenger. So that's always the trick. You know,
is ridership up in Kingston?
Yeah,
yes.
Do you have the percentages
what
of that?
What I did, now the number is a little flawed here because their number for September was 7,900 and something. And I said, that's the where you did a lot of shuttles. I think they counted the shuttles in there. I brought it down to 6,000. I might have said, so we did 20,000 for the quarter. That would, they did 18,000 for the quarter. So we've done quite a bit of increase. You know, people at first might have complained, but they enjoy getting there up and down 15 minutes and a couple, or the half hour now. And we expanded, you know, to the demand response areas where we had the initial phone calls.
Right. Sure.
We have not had any more phone calls, only about the shelters, bus shelters. Now, just so you're aware, how did I answer that call? I answered that call by letting them know that we won't put that in the county budget. We're going to get funding for that. So we'll look at the funding sources for shelters and and signage and stuff like that. And I know planning, was it planning, you're working on a project now, right, Dennis, for to get the bus stop signs back up and all that. So why put them up? They have to come down. We'll lay it out with the beautification of Broadway and all that is when they'll go up.
Okay. Chairman Bartels?
I just wanted to also follow up and say that, so, you know, in the early rollout, we have a lot of people come to the legislative meeting, and I've followed up with a bunch of them just to see if their concerns were answered. And to a person, they all said that not only were their concerns answered, that in the couple outlying places where they felt there were still issues, that they felt that you and the department were very, very responsive.
Thank
so
you.
They were very happy because they felt heard. Uh-huh. And so thank you for that.
Yeah, no,
because it makes our job easier.
Well, plus, you know, in transportation, you have to listen to the need. And if you can address the need and respond to the need, you're only increasing what you can do with your bus service. I mean, we're out there to serve the public. We're not out there just to do what we want. So if we can serve the public in a positive fashion and keep Ulster County, we want it not to be the big secret it is. We need to get it out there a little bit more and keep the ridership going up. So,
yeah. Great job.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And in closing, I'm not sure if we will be here next. I don't know if there's a meeting next month.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there'll be one. Yeah.
Okay, so I will say goodbye.
I'm not retired yet.
I'm not retired.
All right, well, thank you, Carol.
All right,
thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, great.
And thanks for the support in 2018.
All right. Now I told you, Alan, we're going to skip past you. We're going to go right to Dennis Doyle, please, Director of the Planning Department.
Thank you. I thought I had the dubious distinction of going last. But
no, because Alan's got a few resolutions. We're going to go right from his presentation into the resolutions for information services.
So thank you for the time. I appreciate the opportunity to explain the department's budget. As you know, the department is a bit smaller this year because of the move away from the Office of Business Services as a division.
I'm sorry, Dennis.
So what ends up happening now in terms of an organizational chart, we're a staff total of 7. The total budget is about $1.4 million for 2020. The budget's divided into, if you look at it, the organizational responsibilities are divided into sort of transportation, if you want to think of big buckets. Transportation, special projects, open space, and others as directed. Land use, we have a responsibility under the charter to do certain work with respect to land use. And then housing, agriculture, and some other work that the department's responsible for. Looking at that, one of the biggest areas of the department's budget is professional services. It's about $531,000. I wish it was millions, but it's not. Just running through that, about $260,000 of that is directed to the Transportation Council. That Transportation Council uses those funds to do studies as requested by the municipalities and as necessary to meet our federal obligations. We also support something called a continuum of care. The continuum of care deals with homelessness in the county, and we support all the agencies relative to those homelessness, and they're an annual submission to HUD for funding for homeless assistance. That brings in about $1.2 million on an annual basis for that support.
And how much of the 531 is going towards that?
About $30,000. All right. And trail enhancement, we've included in this budget a trail enhancement fund under professional services that would be used to do trail work around the communities. It's in an operating budget because it's really difficult to think about these things as a bonding source. We do get numerous requests from various municipalities and other areas and our own trail systems now in terms of needs for trail enhancements. That's at $150,000. It was funded at $150,000 last year. It's funded at that level again this year. And then one of the things that ended up happening is that we were concerned about, I think we discussed it at the last meeting, we were a census data affiliate. The 2020 census is a unique census. It's going to be the first census that's essentially done online, totally online. So we've added $40,000 in our budget to do work on the complete count with the census. County executive is in the process of looking at a complete count committee, establishing a complete count committee, and we would do use that money to do the necessary outreach, education, and in some instances maybe even equipment because of the need to essentially provide areas where people can get online and do that fill out their census. There's $50,000 in the in the budget for a farmland protection plan. This was put in the budget last year. It wasn't spent because the farmland protection folks, having told us they had a continuing funding round, essentially had their money pulled, so we couldn't put it in the application. They are now telling us as of 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago that they expect to be funded coming up within the next couple of weeks or months. So we anticipate that we put an application in and update the county's farmland protection plan, which was updated in 1997.
And how much was that?
About $50,000, and that's matched. That would be matched.
How much was going towards trail funding, by the way?
150.
Do you have a breakdown of that whole line?
I do. That's what I just did. Really just,
okay. I mean, I'd love to give you, maybe you could send it later.
Yep, sure. Not a problem.
That would be helpful.
Yep. I just want to talk a little bit about the areas that we're working on in terms of transportation. Transportation is we're a host agency for something called the Ulster County Transportation Council. Transportation Council is a creature of and created by the federal government. We're something called a metropolitan planning organization. So the funding that we that comes in from that is reimbursed at about a 95-5 basis, 95% federal, 5% county basis. We produce on an annualized basis, we do what something called a Unified Planning Work Program. It operates under a state fiscal year, so we're always catching up or falling behind depending upon where we are. And to give you a sense of those studies that are currently ongoing, we have a road safety analysis countywide that's currently beginning, traffic monitoring program, a pavement management program. We actually help our DPW do some pavement management work. We're doing a study in New Paltz on a Walk Hill Valley Rail Trail. It's called a Trails Opportunity Study. We're doing a wayfinding study in Kingston. We're doing a Village of Ellenville wayfinding study. We're also doing a Kingston signals analysis, and we'll be holding a public meeting on that.
Dennis, can I ask you about that? There were some reports on that last week, I believe.
We went to the Common Council last week and gave them an overview of where the study is. I have a project brief if the committee wants it.
Okay. Yeah, I would like a copy of that. And
sure.
I'd also like to know, just a quick overview of that.
Dennis, send everything to me.
Yeah.
Were any of the traffic signal lights that were removed? I know your point. What I read from the accounts that a number of them that are in place now could be removed.
We studied eight signals. Right. All the eight signals, none of them met warrants. And the
right.
recommendation from the consultant is that they can, that the city could consider.
I want to particularly ask about was this intersection of Foxhall and Hasbrook Avenue examined?
I'd have to look.
Because that's a particular concern.
Most of them were in uptown Kingston,
right.
So I would suspect.
That's what I was read by the accounts, but that was the one that the signal was removed. There used to be a traffic signal light.
Yeah, I don't know.
And it was removed. I would like details on that, though, because that is a peculiar intersection where it's during the peak traffic times,
sure.
it's extraordinarily busy. Then
we did detailed studies on eight signals. We did data collection on, I think, 10 or 12 signals. We didn't have enough money in the budget to essentially go do that. We've gone back since then with the consultants and are working on whether or not we can complete the other signals that where we collected data on.
So that's basically the breakdown of the 260.
That's correct.
Okay.
Well, it's not the 260. Those are ongoing. So studies that are programmed but not yet commenced are UCAT fleet storage facility. We expect RFPs back for that this week or next week. We also have a long-range transportation plan update that's required by the feds that essentially need to be updated and adopted prior to the end of September. We also have a New Paltz connector study, which is a congestion management effort. One of the things that we want to try to do is, as the Thruway Authority goes to online tolling, to see if there's an alternative to look at how we can reduce congestion management in New Paltz by
Thruway work. Chime in here that the fleet garage, that the closing date on that RFP is November 29th.
Yep. And then the studies currently requested, we do a call for projects at the end of November, usually into early December, as we develop the 2020-2021 UPWP. We already have requests for projects from some of the communities already. We have a request from the city of Kingston to do a rail safety analysis. We had a number of fatalities in Kingston with respect to rail, so the community has asked us to do a rail safety analysis. They had asked us to do a parking demand analysis. They're now suggesting that they really don't want that done, and they want us to do a rail safety analysis.
Legislator Archer,
please. Yeah, do you go out to the communities asking for this?
Yes,
we do a call for
projects,
okay.
Yeah.
So they're everybody's aware of it.
Yeah, the Transportation Council consists of the chief elected officials from all of the communities in Ulster County. And the voting members consist of essentially those members of the communities that are in urbanized areas, and then we use the chair of the Supervisors Association to represent the rural towns.
Got it.
In the county.
Thank you.
All right. And we also have a request from the town of Ulster with respect to Route 9W for congestion management work. And there's some other requests that are out there that haven't been solidified yet. So that's the transportation side of the agency. With respect to special projects, you know, we work a lot on rail trails. So the Ashokan Rail Trail is nearly in completion. We anticipate that we'll complete and be able to open the remainder of the trail prior to Thanksgiving, maybe within the next 2 weeks. They're working on that right now. The Midtown Linear Park, you're certainly aware of where we are in that process with an eminent domain proceeding coming up as it relates to that, a hearing on that. Kingston Rail Trail that runs from Washington Avenue out to Route 9W, that work on Route 209, that work is stalled while we were in court with respect to some of the eminent domain, but the design is completed. Both the Midtown Linear Park and the Kingston Rail Trail are 100% either state or federal funding. There's no county dollars involved in those at this particular point in time. We've also worked significantly on the Public Safety Training Center. It was formerly known as the Fire Training Center, to move that forward in terms of after it got stalled. We continue to move that forward. We're currently working on alternatives relative to the bid that came in for the modular building. You've asked us to come back to you with an alternative. We're working with a modular company right now and a design company right now, and the design firm to essentially complete that work and come up with a, hopefully at least no cost and a better building, no cost increase in a better building compared to the monies that we saw for that modular construction in the original bid. We're also working with the public service, with the first responders with respect to their radio tower systems, their radio systems. We're involved in essentially a environmental work and design work, issued the RFP for the safety division for that tower proposed to be located in Saugerties at the former tire sump. And then we're working with the veterans folks with respect to the veterans cemetery in New Paltz. We've met with the local planning boards on both instances and have a draft MOA and easement with respect to the cemetery board in front of them. And we're also working with the county executive office with respect to assistance on some of the issues associated with Heck City. And those are just sort of the really major stuff that we work on. There's a lot of little stuff that comes in on a regular basis. Just to turn to housing, we provide administrative support to the COC. I mentioned that. The COC administrative support that we provide includes the preparation and submittal of the annual application for funding, a data collection part of the HMIS system, which is a homeless management information system, and the required point in time homeless count. We work with that work. And as I indicated, about $1.2 million a year generally comes in from that application. It goes to all those homeless folks, providers, Gateway, People, and a few others in terms of providing funding so they can provide services for the homeless. We also provide oversight for the county's housing program. Currently, the county has three active housing programs. We have a $450,000 program for home ownership that's nearing completion. We have a $600,000 housing rehabilitation program. The drawdowns for that have just started. And we have just recently awarded a $590,000 home ownership program, and the contracts are signed and the outreach is going to start with respect to that. So we audit that. We provide all of the background work that needs to go to the state in terms of the requirements for that, and we audit RUPCO with respect to their provisions of that, and help them with respect to outreach and on those projects. With regard to agriculture work, we support the Farmland Protection Board. That is, and we in cooperation with Cornell. If anybody remembers, every year you get legislative resolutions come in to add projects to agricultural districts. There's a lot of background work that gets to those recommendations. Presentation to the Farmland Protection Board for that. And we also do the Ag District updates. On an 8-year cycle, Ag Districts have to be reviewed, and we've completed the reviews of, there's four districts in the county, totaling about a little over 77,000 acres. We completed those reviews, so we probably have another window, I think, of 4 or 5 years before the next series of reviews come up. And we also work to essentially get out the message and try to encourage folks to apply with respect to the purchase of development rights. And Legislator DeLuan has helped to try to extend that conversation with the Farmland Protection Board, and I think we're going down to visit the Orange County Farmland Protection Board as well. The 2020 budget, as I mentioned, contains money in the budget to update the Farmland Protection Plan that was last adopted in 1997. That would be a matching fund with the state on with state ag and markets. We also do work on the Lower Esopus with respect to member releases on the Lower Esopus. We were pivotal in the initial work on that and continue to work with the Department of Environment. We now have working on reviewing and writing a contract for a scope of services to review the DEIS, which is going to be issued by DEC very shortly on the Lower Esopus. We anticipate that that will be released, hopefully with timeliness with respect to our ability to essentially sign a contract. We have money, the county is fiscal sponsor of that money. We have money from the consent order from the department, so that it doesn't cost the county for anything to do this review. We're just holding the money in a capital program, and that will be spent out of that capital program. And the contract, I think, is less than $50,000. I think it's somewhere in the neighborhood of in the mid-40s right now. And on the Upper Esopus, staff works with the folks on the Upper Esopus. The Shokan Stream Management Program provides funding for various projects in the Upper Esopus. One of our staff sits on the review committee and makes recommendations with respect to that. To give you an idea of how important those are, we've made recommendations that help our DPW fund culvert replacements, bridge replacements, slope stabilization work, as well as research on the Upper Esopus relative to that work. And then we've just completed a brownfield opportunity study. That's a pre-nomination study. That material is going out to the towns, and hopefully they can follow up on that in terms of whether or not they want to apply for funding to do a brownfields program within their community. We look and we have reports for Saugerties, parts of Rochester, City of Kingston, and two areas in the village of and town of Worsing. With respect to land use, we have a statutory responsibility both in our administrative code and in the charter itself. The county planning board supports the county planning department supports the county planning board. The county planning board consists of 25 members, one from each municipality. They are appointed by the legislature, and two from the city of Kingston. The board meets on a monthly basis and makes recommendations to referrals of land use projects that come in from various municipalities. And we are currently, right now, have about 230 reviews under our belt for this year. We anticipate we'll probably get maybe 10 or 15 more. We get somewhere between 25 to 30 a month, sometimes more. Sometimes they're very large, and sometimes they're small. We just reviewed, for example, last night, we just reviewed a comprehensive moratorium for the town of Lloyd, which is essentially going to halt development permits in the town of Lloyd for a minimum of 6 months with 2-3 months extension to authorize. So those are the kinds of things that we see and make comments on a regular basis. We also conduct gateway meetings with municipalities in terms of their zoning changes and comprehensive plan work, and we work with local developers in terms of that as well. We've worked closely with the Office of Business Services, and now we'll work closely with the Economic Development Department to make sure that those folks that are proposing to expand in Ulster County or proposing businesses that will require zoning approvals or land use approvals in Ulster County essentially understand how that process works and can understand firsthand what the concerns are both at the municipal level and at the agency level and then finally at the county level. We bring together the Department of Transportation, our county health department for larger projects, the Department of Environmental Conservation, and members of the local planning staff, as well as supervisors and elected officials where they are interested, and then members of the county planning board as well. We sit around and we discuss projects as they come in to give a heads up to those folks that are there. Many of the developers find it extremely helpful. Some of the towns also find it extremely helpful because if they have a developer that is proposing a project that they don't particularly care for, we could sort of be the hard knock on the head that says you really need to rethink this in certain ways from a design perspective. And that's pretty much it in terms of what we do.
Any legislators have any questions for Director Doyle?
I have so many, but we're going to let it go.
Okay. Well, thank you, Dennis. Appreciate it.
I just asked a question. This was brought up for the team. This was brought up in Health and Human Services. You know, the programs the county has obviously are great programs, and in a lot of sense, we're ahead of other counties. However, we're recognizing that there's a housing problem. I spoke to somebody from Section 8 in the city of Kingston who said, we have weekenders coming up, they're buying houses, they no longer want tenants. Have we thought about an out-of-the-box model or considered anything so we can start making sure that there's truly affordable housing?
Sure.
I mean, even the new project going in, I'm hearing numbers are like $1,380 a month. I'm not going to make that on my Social Security when I retire. So
that's a great question, by the way, and it hits on some of the things that we were talking about in terms of affordable housing and in terms of a review of local zoning statutes. A couple of things. One is that it's no small thing to say this, but and it's not sort of saying where the department is that we have led in many instances much larger planning departments and much larger think tanks with respect to our response to some of the things that you just talked about. I'll give you the example with respect to short-term rentals. We, I think, have gone out to several of the municipalities and made recommendations, Shandaken, Woodstock, Rochester, Town of Lloyd, and made recommendations with respect to short-term rentals and the regulations that are necessary. Simply said, the most easiest thing that you should do and the minimal thing that you do is regulate short-term rentals with respect to quality of life issues and public health and safety. The second thing is that we have a strong position both at the planning department and also at the county planning board level that short-term rentals negatively impact the availability of housing at a regional level and at a community level, particularly when you have concentrations of short-term rentals. And the idea of what you're talking about is essentially turning over from apartments to short-term rental work. So a couple things that we've made recommendations, and that this comes from the board itself, that with respect to short-term rentals, no multifamily use should be allowed to have short-term rentals, and multifamily houses are defined of units, houses with more than three or more units in them. With regard to non-owner occupied or primary, non-primary residence occupied, short-term rentals, the board essentially says is you should cap them. You should basically cap them in terms of where they are right now in terms of your community, and then you should tie that cap to the creation of housing stock. So essentially, if you want to have more short-term rentals, you're going to have to allow the community to grow. And then that way you essentially keep the short-term rentals that are non-primary owned, that are not primary residents, you keep them at a level that is consistent with your housing stock. With respect to owner-occupied, our sense is that there are real economic advantages to allow these to go forward. We certainly support them. We're a little concerned about the idea of how that works as it relates to accessory apartment units. The board is a champion of accessory apartments as a means to provide affordable housing for larger houses and to divide them up. So we're a little sort of torn, and what we're saying to the communities is that's your call, but we have some concerns if all the accessory apartments in the communities end up going to short-term rental work. The other thing that we've said is if you have areas of blight and areas that you're concerned in terms of redevelopment, one of the ways that you could use the economic advantages of short-term rentals is to actually encourage them to locate there and not require them to be owner-occupied. And that way you get portions of the communities that are blighted now, you get investment in those portions of the communities. The other thing I would say that we've been, that you didn't ask about, but that we would also, let me just continue on housing. On the housing side, the other thing that we've said is that all of the communities were recommending inclusionary zoning. And inclusionary zoning means that percentages of new construction should be affordable. We have pushed that envelope pretty significantly in some communities, and nearly a lot of the ordinances now in the communities contain inclusionary zoning provisions so that if you have a subdivision, a minimum of 10% of the units in those buildings need to be affordable. We define affordability with respect to rental units as less than 60% of the AMI of the community affordable at a 35%
income level and for home ownership.
Yeah, we're going to have to.
I'm sorry.
We're going to have to button this up because we're falling behind and we still need to get through to.
All right. I apologize, Mr. Chair.
No, no apologies necessary. Yes,
Mr. Chair. Thank you. No, just Dennis. Just you know, going forward, one of the things that we will probably end up having to discuss, and hopefully, if it's not done this year, that maybe the next legislature picks up, is that the review, the process by which we review properties that go into the tax sale as to their proper utilization. Yes. It's something that we've actually discussed previously, I'm tempted to say probably 10 years ago, and actually did at one point. And I know that you still do some of those processes, but quite candidly, it's still a source of this legislature, you know, obviously has concerns about how those properties are being utilized.
So one of the things that we are in discussion with, and you can see with respect to that, is the city of Kingston has a land bank. And the land bank process, essentially, you need state authorization to do that. But the land bank process allows you to.
You have 45 seconds.
The second part, the second way to do that is to deal with it under a land trust basis. We have been we have engaged with the county attorney's office and the county executive's office with respect to those discussions.
If I may, I think
really quick.
It's not a question, but it is more about these are the kinds of discussions that we should probably be having. You know, on a more regular basis, yeah, at the standing committee, because there's a lot of information.
Absolutely.
That you packed in right there.
Yep. Yeah,
and we haven't even had a chance to talk about it. So I think it's well worth it.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you, Dennis.
Thank
appreciate
you.
It. Alan, thank you for your patience, sir. We'd love to go. If you please enter into your presentation directly. You can stay right where you are. You're fine.
I'll skip the PowerPoints. It's going to be a little bit of time to get
okay.
that running. But just to get started, I'm just going to summarize the mission statement because I think, in a way, it really guides the department and it really informs, in many cases, informs the budget and it touches in many parts of the how we allocate our resources based on some of that mission statement. So particularly, you know, we are a customer service organization. That's what we do. We're inherently there to serve our end users, you know. Our collaboration is really kind of twofold. One is a collaboration with amongst the team, where we kind of make sure that we collaborate and cross train and knowledge share, but also to help educate our end users on how to use certain collaboration tools that we are currently purchased through our licensing agreement through Microsoft, and take advantage of some of the investments that we've made in technology. So we are sort of like the front end of that out into the Ulster County community of. The government at large. Communication is another thing we want to be able to communicate to our end users, you know, some of the efforts that we're making, some of the challenges that maybe others or people are experiencing, how we can solve them for them, when we resolve problems, or when a person comes to us with a problem, where we try and really understand what the problem is, communicate a solution to them, make sure they understand that we've got their back, in a sense, and make sure that we follow through with that. That's part of our commitment to, and that sort of dovetails on our commitment. We want to commit to our end user that we are really customer focused, that we collaborate with them, collaborate with our peers, that we're going to continue with a very detailed communication strategy, and then commit to that, and just wash, rinse, repeat. So right now we are 28 full-time employees with one seasonal youth worker that we bring in periodically. We've had one that's coming from Ulster, SUNY Ulster, as a web developer. It's been very very helpful. We plan to continue that youth worker program as well.
You're showing 29 in the budget, though.
I'm sorry?
You're showing 29 in the budget?
That's a seasonal youth worker.
A seasonal.
Yeah.
Okay. Didn't see that.
And we also, starting, I think it was 2017, we had a number of interns. That was also very fruitful, so we'll continue that as well. We're going to leverage some really good skilled you know, young folks mm-hmm. in the county, so that's been very, very productive. Some of our 2020 goals, I mean, so with buy-in from the DSS leadership, we are going to merge your IT resources. Right now there's one IT resource, use the county's county side IT resource that will be rolled into the information services staff. Our goal is also to ramp up because the DSS is really one third of the county resource. They were significantly underserved, and we noticed that in a number of different ways. We noticed that we had like hardware and software deployments were really behind. Technology refreshes was really behind. Support over there was very, it appeared to be really spotty and difficult, and it was really challenging. And what we did in 2019 and parts of 2017 was really roll out almost like a all hands on deck with DSS to get more people in the mix, get more people rotating in and out of the environment, get a lot of more knowledge sharing between the more permanent staff that was there previously to our information services staff. So we have some knowledge sharing, cross training, so we actually have some coverage for a very large population of users. There's one piece of that I want to circle back on that for this population I think is particularly important is that the four core principles in my department we call the four C's: collaboration, customer service, communication, and commitment. But there's a part of that really I think that technologists need to really kind of take to heart is compassion, because one of the things that we're doing is that we tend to kind of roll things out almost like a steamroller. And we don't realize that the end user may not be technically quite as competent as we are, or they may have they're used to doing it one way and we're trying to asking them to do it another way, or they may, it's particularly with DSS, you may find particular unique challenges over there that we need to be sensitive about. So, and I think one of the things that happened, at least from observationally, was the single person over there was really challenged. They couldn't really manage the onslaught. So the goal for my department is really bring more people to play, cross train, get a lot of support from my staff, and try to plug the holes in some of the technology challenges, some of the software challenges, some of the desktop deployments, and make sure that population of users is really more adequately served. The next item is to identify and migrate some of our outsourced solutions into in-house. So one of the things that I noticed is that we had a lot of outsourced solutions which were very expensive. Mm-hmm. And in the intervening years and months, we've staffed up with some really good, competent technical folks from the county, which is nice to know. System administrator who came from a high-end web hosting company in South Carolina and moved back to Ulster County. He's our sysadmin, super, super sharp. Another web developer as well that came in, which we didn't have before, so we had a lot of a dearth of expertise in some ways that we're trying to build out. And we also have another a sort of junior sysadmin that was brought on board that really helped to round out the team. And so that gives us now an opportunity to kind of claw back some of those outsourced arrangements that we can now provide in-house with the right expertise that we have. So then one of the things I also noticed when I came on board was it may not look like it, but the county has a really sophisticated network that kind of connects all the buildings together. It's got a really high-speed circuit between two data centers, which we were not really taking advantage of. So the point about it is, first, filling some roles with some really capable, competent folks that we need that have contemporary skills, clawing some of those outsourced solutions back in-house, and really taking advantage of the infrastructure that we currently own and manage directly, and maximize the
Chairwoman Bartels, please.
Can I just ask, just so it doesn't get away from me, on that subject, on clawing back outsourced solutions, are you, I hope you are tracking the savings, because that's going to be helpful to us for you to later say, we took over this, we brought this in-house, and now you no longer see A, B, C.
Yes, we are tracking that very, very clearly, because again, as we notice some of this, for example, like we are targeting, right now we have, I'll be happy to report that our financial system, which was previously housed in South Carolina, is now housed in-house. Right? So, and we did a 2 month long screen test to see how speedy it was. We also took advantage of some of the capabilities of failing over between one data center and another data center, which we couldn't do in DC3. So that capability was just not there. So when you think about, as we prep for things like disaster recovery and resiliency, the fact that we have a network and capability already in the county, we should take advantage of it. So when we brought back the financial system in-house, we could fail over at will between the law enforcement center and also and information services really easily. That's what we want. That's step one in giving us some more resiliency. And so that's where we look at some of those types of capabilities or those outsourced solutions that we want to bring in-house so we can then look at the next step of how we provide better resiliency around some of those applications.
Let's let Rodriguez, do you have a question?
Yeah, I mean, number one, we're short on time, so, but do you want to kind of finish up anything else in terms of your presentation?
Yeah, just one. So one thing, this had come up in previous ones, so the preparation of moving some of these outsourced solutions in-house prepares us now to do things to roll out, and then the savings, at least in theory, the savings that we have from those, from pulling those solutions back in house, we can now look at funding things like an actual disaster recovery technology, right? So, and we've got a prototype of what's called ASR, which is a automatic failover between our on-premise solution to a Microsoft disaster Gov cloud solution, where we can, and we've already prototyped the financial system, we can fail that over into the cloud. So this is a demo environment that Microsoft provides. It's free, it works. So now we know that we can do this. We can actually, in case of an emergency, if all lights went out in the county, we could fail over to the cloud and we'd have our financial systems up in the cloud for a fixed period of time.
Legislator Litz, please.
Two quick things. Can you explain to me what the miscellaneous contractual expense periodicals are?
Yes. So those are things like we have Adobe Cloud subscriptions where people need Microsoft or they need to do like Adobe Photoshop. They don't need it for an entire, we don't own the license, but it might be a person X needs Photoshop for a few months and then we bring it back and we assign the license to somebody else. So those are, and that's an example of a periodical.
So, but it's three.
Isn't the entire county's Westlaw with you?
Yep, and then so I can go through a list of things. So, like the most costly items on that are our Microsoft subscriptions for things like.
So these are licenses.
These are licenses. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Periodicals, truly. So if you would have said licenses, I would have said.
They were magazines. You were going to
have a problem. It's three quarters of $1 million. Yeah. Just seemed like a lot of magazines.
Yeah. These are subscriptions, software subscriptions.
Yeah. The other thing is your. The cost of your employees is over $2 million, which averages out to like $74,000 per employee. That seems kind of high, doesn't it?
I don't know, does it?
Yeah.
What's that?
These are people with technical expertise.
Yeah, but
we
I
should probably break that
but
down.
But I'm averaging in an intern. Yeah. An intern's not making $73,000 a year. So,
no.
I mean, I don't know.
Well, I mean, from my experience, when we interviewed for some of these positions,
yep.
It was really challenging to find anybody who had the skills at a certain rate. It was, and what we really need to accomplish, everything from cybersecurity, data protection, web hosting, disaster recovery, right. You need a certain fundamental set of really high-level skills.
I can understand in the organization that I have, you know, your upper level employees obviously command a good salary to keep them, but I mean we're talking 29 people, and I know they're not all expertise.
Well, some of those, I mean, frankly, some of those are some of our more the employees that have been here the longest,
seasoned
employees, they don't necessarily have the contemporary skills, so they have to command certain salaries just by longevity. Some of the more recent hires are coming in at a lower rate than that, which is pretty typical.
It just seems 73 for the average seems high.
Legislator Rodriguez.
Thank you. Just really quickly, I have a lot. I may have to call you just because we're running out of time here, but just really quickly, so. Herb, if you go on page 72, you'll see actually all the positions and the relative pay. Is the digital media coordinator that's in your department, is that somebody in your shop? Or
it is a gentleman. But it's Jazz.
We've talked about. I mean, this was discussed at the Ways and Means
Committee. Okay, I was
she works
there.
With all of
I
the...
There, so I don't know.
I mean, she's housed here in the county exec's office, but works with all of the departments.
So she does a lot of social media related stuff,
website,
the more forward, you know,
she should be in the exec department. mean,
we should probably move that over. Yeah. It's good. Yeah, no, I mean, I just saw it now. I apologize. I wasn't at Ways and Means, so I don't.
Right.
I wasn't.
I have
okay.
Oh, yeah. I should pay more attention to computer really class.
Chairwoman Bartels, you have to roll.
They're high salary.
But to get the skill set, you got to pay.
Yeah.
And
I think that's something we should be expanding throughout the county, but particularly in your department where we can. What a great thing to be a liaison. I mean, I'm certainly going to speak to the executive about it, because the concept of being a liaison, even to our SUNY Ulster campus, just, you know, you talk about diversifying, et cetera, and keeping people local. We talk about those challenges all the time. So
yeah, let's get some more interns.
We actually have a couple of interns that were really, really sharp. It's really, and okay. Really great to have their energy, so it helped infuse the department with
All right. I think we're going to have to.
Okay.
So we're going to have to move into resolutions, I guess. And while we're here, while you have you here, Alan, we'll start with the first one, Resolution 449, confirming the appointment of Alan Macaluso as Director of Information Services. Moved.
Moved.
Second.
All right, Mr. Chair, just out of a curiosity, this is just appointed to the duration of the year.
No,
or is
this
for the
permanent.
So is
he was already appointed acting.
No, I get that, but is that another resolution to be brought up next year for the 4-year appointment, or?
No, I mean, the prior county executive never had to reconfirm between terms.
Okay.
Call for a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
I record you as Hector?
Yes, said
aye. Oh, okay. All
right. I moved it.
Well, I didn't hear your vote. Okay. Thank you.
I have to ask some questions.
All right. Resolution number 475. Approving the execution of a contract amendment causing the aggregate amendment amount to be in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county Next Step Digital LLC Information Services.
I'll move.
Do I have a second?
Second.
And a question?
Yep.
An external web developer that is addressing all of the multiple websites we have. Is this an example of what this team you've brought on is going to be able to do? Are they going to be able to do web development for the departments?
Yes and yes. So the, one of the things that my team will do, one of the things that Next Step has been doing, which was not really, it was just a small piece of their work, is to do some of the maintenance mm-hmm. on the website. So for instance, patching servers, upgrading software, those types of things. We can do that ourselves now. So that allows them to focus on actually the design aspect of it. I know there's
good, because
some,
we don't have a user-friendly website,
right.
Which is what I wanted
right.
to get to.
Right, so
it is a way to
pull some of that sort of the kind of behind-the-scenes maintenance work in-house that we can do ourselves. Mm-hmm. We really should be doing it anyway, because it has cybersecurity-related types of components mm-hmm. to it. And where we can then just have Next Step focus on some of more of the design, functional related issues, et cetera, you know.
Design, it doesn't flow easy.
Right.
So, if you're talking design, it's not just aesthetic, it's the flow of the
right.
system, which is very cumbersome and hard to navigate.
Yeah.
So, hopefully we're going to see improvements
yes,
there.
Yes, that is our
okay,
is our
great. Goal. Thank you.
I mean, one of the ideas is to use analytics to figure out where people actually go the
go
most.
Go and
pop
beef it up
to the front.
I like
and
it. Yeah. Thank
call
you.
For a vote, please.
Aye.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, passed. Okay, next resolution is Resolution 476, the execution of a contract amendment in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county. Tyler Technologies Incorporated Information Services.
Favorite company. I don't even say it.
Can I get a motion?
Don't even bring it up, because they didn't have a talk on it.
Can we get a motion?
So move.
Second.
Second.
Just go along with this right now.
Any discussion?
I'm taking a knee right now.
Any discussion? Hearing none, I'll call for a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Alan, thank you very much. Really appreciate it. Appreciate your patience, sir.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
Thanks, Alan.
Okay.
Alan, did you get a copy of the...
Yep. All right, we're going to continue on. We're going to continue
right, so
on with our resolutions,
okay,
please.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to really dig into, but I will.
We really need to go on to our resolutions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Resolution 415?
Yes, sir.
At this time, I'd like to postpone Resolution 415.
Okay. Do I have to make a motion or anything? Or is this at the request of the sponsor?
Nobody
okay.
signs it.
Okay.
I'll second.
Well,
take it. Nobody signs
it. Okay, great. Postpone. So, postpone? Aye.
Vote aye.
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 Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Considering the sponsor is not present at this time, I move to postpone Resolution 449. Oh, I don't know if we have
452.
452. I got it.
There's a motion postponed.
Postponed.
Yeah. She was just. He's.
Alan, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Alan.
We're just hanging on a second here. We're suspended animation while we see if Lynn's still here.
Laura.
Excuse me. It's been a long day.
Lynn's here.
I'm here.
Here.
All right. Mr. Chair, I withdraw that motion.
Okay. Resolution 452, setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 13 of 2019, a local law requiring that property owners of multifamily dwellings located in Ulster County with more than 20 units have an office in Ulster County to be held on December 10th, 2019 at 6:10 p.m. Do I have a motion?
I'll make the motion.
I'll move it. I'll second.
Okay. Discussion. Actually, we'll hear from the sponsor.
This resolution was written in response, especially now, with more people from outside of the community coming in, buying up large apartment complexes and finding that they're not necessarily good owners, and then tracking them down to, either for due process or for maintenance, they are not available.
Could I ask you, Laura, is this requiring a staffed office? Or just an office, because if they tend to be a bad landlord, this is just another check on their list that they have an office.
I think the definition under office and the hours was in there for it to be staffed at least 35 hours a week.
Okay.
Double check in the definition, otherwise I'll go back and revisit that. But yes, not just an office, it's staffed for an hour. I specifically remember putting 35 hours a week in there just because, as you said, yes.
I was just curious. I do think to that point, maybe a little clearer, there are some things, but I think we may want to beef up that section. Mm-hmm. The other thing is, who would be enforcing this? Would it be local building inspectors or at the county level? Who would be enforcing that they have either a resident management team there on site or an office? How do we make sure that happens, and who's responsible?
Yeah, because it's a local law, such as the law 304 that we just amended for the issue in Saugerties, it would be, any law enforcement or municipality could enforce it under the county law. I mean, if you want to make that more specific, I would certainly like to have some dialogue. We could postpone it till next month, but I would like to have some dialogue now so I could put it in there instead of kind of coming back to where we are right now again.
Chairwoman Bartels.
Mm-hmm. For some reason I can't, in my packet when I click on him, I get different resolutions, but I know that I read it a bit ago.
Mm-hmm.
But
and I did speak with the executive's office about it. They actually recommended putting in, maybe not necessarily in Ulster County, but if it's in Denning, that it would be within 15 miles of that unit.
Yeah, I mean, I'm curious, did you model it off of legislation somewhere else? I don't know,
no.
Is it legal for us to require that someone staff an office because they have an apartments?
I sent it out to our attorneys, so I didn't hear back, so.
Yeah, it gives me pause, and I need to really think it through. I know this, I don't know for sure, but I know that there have been situations, and we've heard people come before the legislature who have complaints about their, their housing
lack of
management and
yeah.
the lack
mm-hmm.
thereof.
Yeah.
Right.
But I don't know. I'm sure that there are examples of it's very likely that someone has a 20 apartment unit that doesn't have a staffed office but lives in the county and answers the phone when they call. I'm just like, and now that person's going to have to pay someone full time to have an office versus answering the phone in their house and being a responsive landlord. I don't know if it's the only way to get at the problem. Yeah,
legislator Litzing, I'm going to have a comment.
The municipality, city of Kingston, does have a very similar law, and New Paltz has a very similar law.
They do?
So, yes.
Legislator Litz, please.
The only problem I see is there's unintended consequences. I mean, now if you have this person and he's got to put an office in, there goes your affordable housing. I mean, he's not going to lower his rent to staff his office. He's just going to pass that on to the people that are renting. And if it's $35 or 35 hours a week plus an office plus lights, heat, and all of that stuff, he's going to be raising the rent on everybody. So anybody who's having a tough time affording their rental now is just going to have to move somewhere else because it's just an added
expense.
And honestly,
they're raising it anyway. I mean, Lakeshore and Dutchville are going up $300 a month. Anyway,
I know. Yeah.
Without them putting any work in.
We had a guy in Highland. It wasn't even 20. It was like 7 apartments. And he was not doing what he was supposed to. They went down and filed small claims court, and the judge brought him in and said, listen, you either take care of these things or you're going to jail.
Hard to find them if they're in Manhattan.
Okay, well, I'm just going to say this about it.
They're able to find them when they got to send a check in for the rent.
My thought on it is if a landlord tends to be a bad landlord, whether they have an office staff there or not, they're going to continue being a bad landlord, except the... It's just going to, they're just checking a box. That's how I see this here. I just don't see...
But it's part of the legal process. Yeah,
okay.
You have somebody that you can serve.
Do we want to move this for a vote, or do we want to...
It's a public hearing. Why not listen to the public?
Absolutely.
So,
all right.
I don't have a problem voting.
I'll call for a vote.
Sure.
Aye.
Just setting the public hearing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, so that brings us to the end of our...
I'll make a motion for adjournment.
Second.
All in favor of adjourning?
Aye.
Thank you. We're adjourned. All right, but please don't leave before you sign your resolutions.
Good job, Brian.